Beloved congregation, I ask your attention this evening for the consideration of the 15th Lord's Day, question 37. What dost thou understand by the word he suffered? That he, all the time he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. That so by his passion as the only propitiatory sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness and eternal life. Thus far. The last weeks we were speaking about the first step of Christ's humiliation. And that first step is his humble birth. Now this evening we have to start with the second step of his humiliation. And that second step is his suffering. First of all, I will say a few words about the question itself. The question that is, what dost thou understand by the word he suffered? And we have to give a little explanation about the word understand. What is the meaning of that word in the sense in which our fathers had placed there that word? It is not so that we only have to explain the suffering of Christ as in history, but there is something else involved in the word understand. Our catechism, that is a practice book. Practice. And it always comes back to the first question, and that is, what is thine only comfort in life and death? In other words, we have well to talk about the history a little, but that is not the main thing in our catechism. The main thing is that we have to talk about the prophet that lays in the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when the catechism speaks about understand the word he suffered, then that refers to the knowledge of faith. And then only we can receive De prophet which is in it for our soul. Because the suffering of Christ, that was a suffering so separated from all the suffering that there is in this world. There is, in other words, no comparison with the suffering of Christ and the suffering of mankind here on earth. The suffering of Christ, that was the suffering of a substitute. The suffering of a mediator. The suffering of a surety. It is clear enough that Christ had not to suffer for himself. He was without original and without actual sin. But his coming into the world that was to restore the glory of God, which we have dishonored in our fall, and also to restore God's people into that blessed fellowship with the Lord. Time and again in general, in the spring, then they talk about the suffering of Christ. They have special meetings, but in general it means nothing, because that Christ suffered as a substitute and as the mediator, that is forgotten by most of the modern people in the days in which we are living. And then in the second place, there is something else here that have to draw our attention also, that in the first place we have to consider the person who suffered, not the suffering itself. We have to talk about it, cannot be different. But still, before that we talk about what Christ suffered, then first of all we have to consider who was suffering, who bore the wrath of God. And that is the Son of God. The Son of God. We have also to remember that the Son of God, as a substitute, that he was never an subject of the wrath of God. We well, we are all laying under the wrath of God by virtue of the sins of Adam and of our own sins. In other words, congregation, the Lord can have nothing to do with us by virtue of his holiness and of his righteousness. We have made a separation in our deep fall. And we are not only sinful and sinners, but also we are totally depraved. One of the points of Calvin was the total depravity of men. The total depravity of men. In other words, that there is never any hope from the sight of men. That is entirely cut off in our fallen Adam. But now the Son of God came in this world to suffer and to die. But assuming our human nature, not a human person, but a human nature. That means that Christ, he was God from all eternity, and he remains God, but he took on him a human nature. And that was necessary in regard to giving back to the Father his honor and to his people the righteousness. We have sinned in soul and in body. The Roman Church denied the suffering of Christ in his soul. You know that. That is in the dogmatic. They say that Christ had suffered only in his body, but not in his soul. But we believe, and yeah, we believe, it is revealed in the Word of God that Christ also suffered in his soul. He gave his soul as a ransom for many. And also in the Old Testament, you read especially by the prophet Isaiah that Christ's soul that was also involved in his suffering on account that we have suffered in soul and body. Eve, she saw that tree, she saw the fruit of that tree, she considered it with her soul, and then she walked to that tree, and she picked from that tree that apple of what fruit it was. And it is clear enough, congregation, that as the result of our sin in Adam, that not only our body is involved, but also our soul. And why is it now that we have to emphasize, first of all this evening, the person who suffered? Then we have in the Word of God many proofs. The first proof, of course the first proof, but a very clear proof of it, that is in Acts 20, verse 28. And there it said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which, and then it comes, which he had purchased with his own blood. And then in 1 John 1 verse 7, the text that is well known to all of us, that the blood of Jesus Christ, and it said not that the mediator of the surety, no, but the blood of the Son of God, that washes and cleanses from all our sins. And now we were instructed from our early days already through our catechism and our Belgian confession and the canons of Dort, the necessity that the Son of God came in this world, taking upon him our human nature. Because the catechism said here that he, all the time he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. Now, first of all, it speaks here about the wrath of God. And that is an eternal wrath. An eternal wrath that means that there never comes an end to it. There comes no end to eternity. Therefore, if we not believe in the Son, the wrath of God lays upon us, and that forever and forever. There was in England, and maybe still today, a society with the name the Second Probation. And that society that brought in the world that after men died, especially those who never have heard of the gospel, that there was for that people an other opportunity to be saved. A second probation. But of course, there is no ground at all in the Word of God for that. It said even not in the Bible tomorrow, no, but today, when you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The wrath of God is eternal. And now, if Christ was only a true man, let I say, a sinless man without sin, he never was able to bring the eternal wrath to an end. The wrath of God is undivided. The full wrath of God came upon Christ. And the reason therefore is this, congregation, that in every attribute of the Lord is his full essence. God is love. But God is all so just and righteous. No dividing in the essence of the Lord, and also not in his attributes. the full wrath of God came upon that Christ. For 33 years, Christ was laying under it. That is the reason that Christ in those 33 years that he was here on earth, that he had never any rest. He had declared that himself so clearly that the fox have nests, have holes, the bird have nests, but the Son of Man had nothing to lay down his head. God as a judge, as a righteous judge, was always behind him. The law was always behind him. The devil was always behind him. The sins of the people was always behind him. God himself, he required satisfying of his justice. That was the reason that that sword of righteousness that was against him, against my fellow, in Zechariah 13. And we have a text in John 12, what speaks of the wrath of God and how that Christ was under death, how that he was realizing it, because he declared, there now is my soul troubled. And it was under the eternal wrath of God. What shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Rutherford, in 1600, he wrote a book over that text. And of course, it is always partly that we can talk about it, but that man also, he explained so far as it was given to him, in what an awful condition that that Christ was as the mediator of the church. Troubled. But his Godhead, his divine nature, has always sustained his human nature. His divine nature had upheld that human nature, because there is another text, and that is in Psalm 90, that said so clear, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. And who knowest the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is their wrath. God's people that know something of it in their own heart. Something. Not as Christ had experienced. No. But something. And that is only for a moment, as you read by the prophet Isaiah, that there is a moment in his wrath, but a life in his mercy. And of course, that is experienced by Christ as a mediator. We have to experience that also in our life. That means something of it for our own heart. It is not so, congregation, and I have not to spend so many words for that this evening, because you have heard that your whole life, so far as you were brought up in the true doctrine, and that is this, that here, inside, that we have to experience something for our own heart and for our own soul. Christ came in Gethsemane, and every child of God, to a certain extent, they know something of Gethsemane here in their own heart. That is necessary. And it goes not outside of us. No. But we have to experience that for our own heart and soul. To experience that by the wrath of God that it was cut off. But now by the mercy of the Lord revealed in Christ Jesus through his mediatorial work, that there is hope for a sinner. Christ, in other words, I hope that I can explain it to you, that you can follow it easy. Christ, in a state of his humiliation, he brought the wrath of God to an end. We never could do that. But Christ brought it to an end. At that moment that he cried out on Calvary, it is finished. But there is another side. Christ merited salvation for his people and for his church. But now the same divine nature was necessary to apply it to the hearts of the people, to bring it in our hearts, that we are share in the benefits of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you no new things, no. You have heard that so many times in your life. And if we are honest with ourselves, congregation, then we have to come to the conclusion we have no desire in the ways of the Lord. Our whole life that is against it. Really, that is against it. There can be a time in our life, really, there can be a time in our life that we think, if the Lord now was so willing as that I was quick converted. It took not so long and then I was a child of God. But there have to come a time in our life that the word of Christ become reality for us, You will not come to me that you have life. It is not only that we are unable, but the worst thing of all that is that we are unwilling. We show that in our whole life. And the Lord, when he got to Psalm 110, he had unwilling people. But when? But when? In the day of his power. Then he said hitherto, and O Father, then he breaks us down. And that he made us a beggar at the throne of grace. And that we lay there, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And congregation, sometime I think, of course I don't know, but sometime I think maybe it is not so long more that we shall bring the truth in your midst. We are on an age that the Lord can take us away, or that he gives so many infirmities in our body that we can no more preach. But oh, with all that is in me, I hope to declare to you, as long as it shall given to me, that there have to be taken place a miracle from on high, and that we become before the Lord what we are. A sinner, a hell-worthy sinner, who is expecting nothing else than that the Lord cut us off forever and forever. That is necessary, people. And when the time may come in our life that we accept our fall, that we accept our punishment, that we accept our condemnation, oh, then heaven is open for such a sinner. And then the Lord speaks comfortably to that people. And then he opened that gospel in Christ Jesus for a poor sinner and for a lost sinner. And that is something to experience, that inside congregation. Really, in our head, that is too short. That is too short. But here in our heart, that is necessary. Paul, he wrote to the Galatians, when it has pleased the Lord to reveal his Son unto me and in me. And that is something that shall never taken away from us, no. There can well come darkness in our life, and much strife, but that remains. that remains forever. And that joy of salvation, Paul, he wrote, no, not Paul, but David, he wrote about that in Psalm 51, that joy of salvation. Oh, that our soul delight in the Father, delight in the Son, and delight in the Holy Spirit. Delight in a triune God for ourselves. And then, even that we live or that we die, oh, we have no fear in our heart, no. Then we can lay down our head on that pillow of the faithfulness of God. And also, you read about Jacob when he was old, that he stretched out his legs upon his bed, and that he was waiting for the salvation of the Lord, and that he died without fear and without trembling. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And, oh, my dear congregation, blessed are the dead. What means that? What means that? That I have to say nothing. And that I agree with the Lord for 100% what he will bring upon me. Nothing to say, no. Be still and know that I am God. And for that people it is such a surprise, because, and that is not my word, Grand Rapids, but that is the word of the living God, the infallible word of God, that enemies are be reconciled with God, enemies, through the death of his Son. And now, of course, there is of something else that I will explain to you in few words this evening. And that is this. Now, there is a fullness in God. There is a fullness in the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross, that had such a power that the whole world can be washed and cleansed in that blood. A lamb, an elephant, you know, there is no difference in that. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, washes and cleanses from all our sins. We have freedom and liberty to say to everybody that he can be converted, that he can be reconciled with God. You know, they asked John Knox, who was preaching for the government, why that he took such a text as that he had done out of Matthew about the vipers. How they would escape the wrath of God. One said, is that a text for us? He said, yes, that is here at the right place. But he said, when I called in jail by the criminals,
He said, then I preach the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God that washes and cleanses from all sins. Congregation, there is no sinner to heart. There is no sinner too wicked. No. No. There is an all sufficiency in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Pharisee can be converted. A sinner be converted. There is nothing too wonderful for the Lord. There are problems in life, of course, especially in the life of a minister. He come in contact with so many people week after week and sometimes day after day. And it is too bad to say that this evening, but still I will say it. There is people still alive for whom it already is done while they are still alive. That is something. There is people that is so hard, so hard. No impression, no conscience. They harden their heart the same as Pharaoh. And laying the blame and the fault upon the Lord that they have to go to hell. Some people said, I waiting what shall happen with me. I can do nothing. But if you come to those people and to say to them, you have in paradise the ability, the gifts, the talents to live to the honor of the Lord. But then they are stopping their ears. They will not know about it. No. Manasseh, you know the man, his terrible life. Still the Lord he comforted him. Still the Lord comforted him. And he called upon the God of his father Hezekiah. And he showed after his conversion the fruit of true conversion. But the regret of all that he had broken down. And how jealous that man was to build up what he had broken down in his life. The Lord can comfort us. Oh, people. What would it be a blessing that we become before the Lord what we are. A sinner who accept his sinnership and his condemnation. And then there was never in their life such a great surprise as when that take place. That the Lord is slow to anger and that he is forgiven the sins of those that confessing with her heart. And that all for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that offer of Christ on Calvary's cross that is sufficient for everybody, but still it is limited. Limited by the sovereignty of the Lord for God's people, for God's elect. And when I say that this evening, in the meantime, I will use another text, and that other text that is that the secret things are for the Lord our God and revealed for us and for our children. And when it become now inwardly in need, we can well be bothered with it. Oh yes. The same as that so many convicted people is bothered that they have done the sin against the Holy Ghost. And the devil can bother us with election and rejection, with predestination. But when the Lord bind the need upon their heart and their soul, then they say not, Lord, I am elected, no. But then that people that said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Son of David, have mercy with me. And then another thing, then we can no more stop. Burgundy had some people in the church, you have maybe read that to your life, that was all the time crying. Every service. And one service, then he stopped and he said to the people that was crying, he said, now, stop. I am tired of it. And two stopped crying and one goes on. Yeah. And that one that goes on, later on, it was shown that the true work of the Lord was in their heart. And if the Lord now come in our heart congregation, then we become interested for our soul salvation. And then the world falls away with all the lust thereof. That falls away. And that become a burden to us. And burden. And if the true work of God is here in our heart, then there comes a pleading upon the promises that the Lord had given to his people. To what kind of people? To Adam and Eve. And they have run away from the Lord. And then they would say, Lord, I am the same one. I have done it for 20 years. I have done it for 30 years. I have done it for 40 years. But Lord, is there still room? Is there still a place? But there is a limitation. The doctrine of universal redemption, that is an abomination in the sight of the Lord, people. That denied the sovereignty of God. That denied the mediatorial work of Christ. That denied also the necessarily work of the Holy Spirit, because the Arminians, the Pelagians, the Remonstrants, they all say that it is in our hands. But it is not in our hand, no. It is in the hand of the Lord. And that is the reason that the Lord, and he only, that he receive all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. They need eternity to praise the Father, to praise the Son, and to praise the Holy Spirit for that great wonder that the Lord had revealed into their heart. And you shall hear that when the Lord opened heavens, and when he opened their heart, and when he gives to that people that faith to believe, that Christ came in the world, not only for other ones, but that he came in the world for me too. And for me, that shall be the greatest miracle. And I told you sometime before already, if it is possible for me, then it is possible for everybody. Really? You believe it? Then it is possible for everybody. Because that people that learn the depth of their fall, blessing when it comes not out in public, but still inwardly, they are realizing that they are sinners. And that now Christ satisfied the justice of his Father by his mediatorial work, that he redeemed body and soul from everlasting damnation, and that he also obtained for them the favor of God, righteousness and eternal life. You read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, if we are in Christ, then we are a new creature. All things are gone, and new things are there. And there is for that people no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And one thing that is also wonderful, Catechism speaks here, obtain for us favor of God, righteousness and eternal life, that there comes then a time in their life that they are no more afraid of the Lord. Even David, after that he had sinned, numbering the people, what did he say that meant? What did he say? Let me fall in the hand of the Lord, because his mercies are manifold. Thus, he was more afraid of the people than that he was afraid of the Lord. And that was because the Lord had revealed himself as a gracious and a merciful God and Father. And then here in this life to receive the firstlings of it, in that peace that passes all understanding, but also hereafter, when the day come that the Lord shall take that people up in glory, when he shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and when they shall enter into that country where no inhabitant would say, I am sick. Because the people that is there, that shall have forgiveness of all their iniquities. Congregation, tis a few words to explain this question and answer this evening, but I hope that it be applied to our hearts. There is waiting no more work for us, thus we shall close for this evening. The Lord apply it to all of our souls. Whether that we shall see one another the next week, we don't know. place, the day of death, not far away, people. And I hope, boys and girls, children, that it become reality before that it is reality. And if we stay in our state, and there shall never come a changing, then I have to tell you this evening that it shall be terrible to fall in the hands of a living God. But still, there is a possibility to escape the eternal wrath of God and to restore into favor and fellowship with God through Christ and His precious blood. And now that people that had seen something of it in their life, but missing the applying by the Holy Spirit, oh, that there was no rest at all in your heart. And that need that was once by roots, spread out thy wings over me. Oh, that was given to God's children, that they in the rest of their life may enjoy the sovereignty of the Lord, the mediatorial work of Christ, and the applying of the Holy Spirit also, that we have to say something to the devil when he come with his assaults in our soul and with his vexations in our heart, and that we live in comfort and soon die in peace. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony that we have heard in this evening. Apply it to our hearts, and that it may please thee to remember us in mercy with the whole congregation, elders and deacons, with our school and teachers, with the families, in some difficulties which they are, oh, remember them in mercy. Lord, that they bow before thee in the dust, and that they, with all their troubles and afflictions, that they come to thy throne. Thou art still alive, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Strengthen each and everybody in all the labors and callings laid upon our shoulders. Strengthen and sustain us, and that thy word, and power of thee unto salvation, and lamp for our feet and a light upon our path, and that for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 184. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. 184. pray this evening for the family of Van Zweden, their father-in-law in Miss Fremont, passed away today. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.